AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, game time decisions. We're in the mix, people. I mean, we are in the mix in a major way here with you on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh. We've got 2 hours to run it and rip it. We're going to talk, of course, Olympics here and give people an idea where do things stand. What you're seeing right in front of you is the medal count for USA up until this point. Some of the recent results that they put on the board, getting some medals there. In the bronze perspective, we see 9. Most importantly, though, is for the U.S., is 3 gold medals. This is, again, a country that is supposed to dominate at the Olympics, always projected to go and have the most medals, the most gold medals. But some of these events are still ongoing, still opening up, still getting underway. So plenty of time here. Again, that opening ceremony was just on Friday. But if you do want to get a chance, an idea of where things are settling in right now, Japan is at the top for the gold medal count with 6. We've got France, China, Australia, and South Korea presently at 5 apiece right now. Of those countries listed at the top here, you'll see France check in with 16 total medals, which is still 4 short of where the USA is at this moment. But when we're talking gold medals, we are talking basketball for the USA. We're talking women's hoops, who played their opening game of Olympic competition about 3 hours ago. They tipped off. Of course, we've gone final since with a 102-76 win and cover in a big time over as well. 102-76, USA gets the job done in a rematch of the gold game from a few years ago. Brittany Griner back then was dominant. She was really good off the bench. But the story of this game for Team USA was their top 2 players, Breonna Stewart and, of course, Aja Wilson. Aja Wilson led scoring 24 points as well as 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 blocks. She was absolutely brilliant and dominant in that game. 6 offensive rebounds, creating chances for herself and others on the U.S. The one down note, if you will, for the U.S., it's all relative. The 3-point shooting was super lackluster. As a team, they only made 1 3 in the first half. They made 3 of them in the second half. Those all belonged to Sabrina Ionescu. But again, despite the poor shooting, they smoothed to an over 102 points on the board. The one thing to keep an eye on, we know that markets will be resetting. They've reset from a men's basketball perspective. We'll dive into those a little bit later on in this show. I want to get eyes on the USA total points leader. Aja was the favorite before this tournament. She leads after game number 1, but only by 2 on Breonna Stewart. One of the takeaways from that opening game is I think there's more room for Stewie's numbers to increase. And Aja's, again, just to bounce back a touch. Breonna Stewart 0-for-1 from beyond the arc. We expect her to shoot more threes than that. And again, Wilson's ability to attack the glass is legit. But 6 offensive rebounds could very well be a tournament high for her, which might cut into those opportunities some. All stuff we'll break into a little bit more and get into. But we've got a great, great slate of Major League Baseball, headlined by Paul Skenes and Zach Wheeler in action. And Zach Wheeler goes here for the Philadelphia Phillies to start a series with the New York Yankees. And if you are the Phils, man, you see that minus 154 number on a series price. It's at home. It's respect. But man, the Yanks pitching matchups are a little interesting here. Heel getting the shot against Wheeler. If you're the Yankees, I think you take that. At this point in time, Louis Heel is probably the Yankees, at this moment, best pitcher. Game two, expectations. Gerrit Cole gets the ball. Here's the noteworthy one. Nestor Cortez slated to start game three. Nestor Cortez right now is involved in trade rumors. The New York Yankees being connected to Detroit Tigers, Jack Flaherty. And if Jack Flaherty is brought in, the idea is Nestor Cortez will then be sent out. And this is, for me, a stunner. And from a, you know, side note, Yankee fan, a positive move as a Baltimore Oriole futures better, a negative move. We talk about Yankees panic buttons, Yankees concerns, and I thought that one of the bigger concerns for the Yankees, while they were certainly going to get some bats in to improve that lineup, they brought Jazz Chisholm in just a couple of days ago. They were probably too tied to the guys within their rotation, which would not give them room to improve it. And being willing to move on from Nestor Cortez for what is definitely an upgrade in Jack Flaherty, I think it's a step in the right direction all in all for the New York Yankees. We will see if they can get that deal done before the deadline comes and goes. Let's take a look at the odds for this baseball game here tonight, which has moved just a tick in the Yanks' favor. Minus 142 now flashing on the Philadelphia Phillies. If you play it, I don't mind it. I get it. I mean, it is Zach Wheeler at home. He's been mostly untouchable there. This total of 9, I was considering an underplay, but the wind is blowing out, and I wanted to be cautious. But again, you've got two absolute superstars thrown on the mound in Wheeler and Heel. This could very well be a 4-3 either direction baseball game. Wouldn't surprise in the slightest. What I am going to do in this game is play it under on a player prop, and it's JT Realmuto under 1.5 hits, runs, RBI at minus 130. I was talking about this a little bit earlier on today on Twitter. Just the hits, runs, RBI market is one that I found myself more and more comfortable in as the season has continued, but really lining it up for over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBI. And I've been trying to, you know, play around and cap the underside of it. You will find they are expensive. Again, this minus 130 number here, more common than, you know, getting plus 100s and plus 110s on guys that will likely match up and kind of find that profile that works here. But I thought with tonight's slate, we had enough strong pitchers and hopefully enough good matchups, which we do, that we could maybe go the reverse side and see what our success looks like for tonight. There are 4 hits, runs, RBI props to the under on my card tonight, and it starts with JT Realmuto. He struggled this year against right-handed pitching. Louis Heel allows a sub-200 batting average to righties this year. JT's batting 6th in the lineup as well, so not an overly dangerous spot. And I think it's a nice way to get involved here with Yanks Phils tonight, which should really be a fun one. If you're looking to extend from an unders way, Nick Castellanos batting 7th could certainly line up. And actually, now it's, again, super expensive, but Gleyber Torres is 1.5 at minus 165. Certainly at least match the profile of a guy that you would look to play under that 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. Let's take a look at some big picture items here between New York and Philadelphia. When you talk about win total, you know, the way the Phillies have grabbed control over that NL East, and you see it reflected here at a minus 112 or minus 1200 number, excuse me, to win that division. But there's not as much separation on that win total, and that's where you see the impact of being in the same division as the Baltimore Orioles and vice versa for the Orioles. And their status as favorites, but not monster favorites, is because they're in the same division as the New York Yankees. What's really noteworthy is the World Series price here and Philly being underneath New York. I think that's really, really interesting. Neither team is booked as if making the postseason is in doubt. And again, if Philadelphia is going to get the edge due to home field advantage, we've not fully seen that play out. And if these teams did meet in a World Series, which is a plus 900 number, Philly would definitely have a World Series, would have home field advantage. At least that's what you would expect, although we just showed the win total not super, super far apart. The expectation is the Phillies would have a pitching advantage as well, but the Phillies would have had to been able to get through a Dodgers team that is still booked a little bit more favorably there. So in some respects, even though I'm not overwhelmingly...
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
High on the Yankees. Maybe that number with Philadelphia is just a tick too short. One more pick on the board because we're in the mix here today. Let's get a Braves team total over that 3.5. This is an anti-bounce back spot for Colin Ray. We're going to look to sell high. This 3.5 number here, way too short. I know the Braves are dealing with a lot of injuries, but they make good on the road in Milwaukee. We're on the card already. A lot more to go with the baseball. That's next here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live with you right here on SportsGrid. It's a Monday night. We got a packed Major League Baseball board. It looks like it's going to be a 6:50 start for Game 2 of the doubleheader between the Orioles and the Blue Jays. It was initially listed at 6:05, but that did bounce back with a longer game due to 16 runs being plated in total, 11 of those belonging to Baltimore. Unfortunately for me, none of those belong to Gunnar Henderson. While I'm certainly not panicking over the 79.5 season-long RBI number, he sits currently at 64. Gunnar Henderson, it was just a little odd play at short. It kind of looked like he was cleated by a Padre sliding in, and it serves as a reminder with all season-long player props. Man, you're going to hear me emphasize this a lot when we get to football season, how injuries often really decide those wagers. This Gunnar Henderson bet's looked so good for so long, 63 RBI at the All-Star break there. It's now one of those things I find myself checking the Orioles box scores a little extra now to see if he's put an RBI on the board. But again, game number two, Povich Francis there. Baltimore with the first win will be getting underway at 6:50. We mentioned Yankees-Phillies. That'll be getting underway at 6:40, as will Tigers-Guardians, where I will have a play in this game here. Tanner Beebe goes for the Cleveland Guardians, and Tanner Beebe's been really strong this season against right-handed bats as a righty himself, allowing a brilliant 172 batting average to opposed right-handed hitters. So for me, as I was lining up the 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, and who could potentially be some unders, what you'll notice is guys that qualified, right? There was three guys that I had circled up, right? I would try and locate the player before you get to the number, right? So Justin Henry Malloy and Ryan Kreidler, look like, okay, those guys could be worthwhile. Well, the books agree. That's why their numbers are a half of a hit-run RBI. Plus 100 to that under on Kreidler. Plus 135 on Henry Molloy, right, on Justin Henry Molloy. But again, that's a half of a hit-run RBI. I mean, that's a situation where you ground out into a fielder's choice, next man up hits one out, you lost, and this guy's done nothing all game. So I still think, for me, if I'm going to look to play an under 1.5 hits runs RBI, I want that number to certainly be 1.5 or 2.5, right? If you can find a number in that range. The only time I had that under 2.5 was a Bo Bichette number, and I ended up actually not playing in that baseball game. But who is playing and who I'm on under is Mark Canha at minus 130 here. Again, we're looking to fade some right-handed bats. Now, Canha is going to go fourth in this lineup tonight, but against righties this season, batting .215. Really, really poor. It's just not been a great season for Mark Canha overall. It's not been a great season for the Detroit Tigers. With Tanner Bibee's success against the right-handed bats and where those Mark Canha numbers drop in, I'm playing him under 1.5 hits runs RBI at minus 130. I'm on Brandon Nimmo under the 1.5 hits runs RBI. That number was minus 120. It actually did drop to minus 110 as I was getting set to click that number, so that very well could be where you'll be locating that. But Simeon Woods Richardson going here for Minnesota is actually checking in with the reverse splits, which I'm always a fan of, because I think so often books will, you have a lefty on lefty, they'll kind of drop it, or they might say, oh, this lefties are going to smash righties. Well, Simeon Woods Richardson this year is allowing just a .202 batting average against right now left-handed bats. He's only allowed two home runs on the season, so I'm going to look to attack a Brandon Nimmo under 1.5 hits runs RBI. Now, a little more of a danger spot due to Nimmo batting second in this lineup. The other guy you could have looked at for an under would have been Jeff McNeil, but Jeff McNeil was more expensive and is way hotter right now than Brandon Nimmo. While he's batting seventh, I thought it was better to bet Nimmo in the two-hole, despite, again, that danger spot there. And getting it at minus 120, minus 110, I think is a good enough price. So we're on that under. The last one, if I had a favorite, it would be this one, but it's the most expensive, so it's rightfully so. But that would be Dom Smith under 1.5 hits runs RBIs against Logan Gilbert. Dom Smith is batting .217 against right-handed pitching this year. Dom Smith overall has just not been very good for the Boston Red Sox. Yet he gets a chance here going up against the Mariners because Logan Gilbert has the ball and, you know, looks like from the idea, at least of Boston, is, oh, maybe the lefties will be a little bit more dangerous. Well, neither side of the dish is hitting above .200 against Logan Gilbert this year. .188 against righties, well, it's a .193 against lefties. And it's actually been a lot less from a power perspective for left-handed bats. I'm happy to play Dom Smith under this number here against, even though it's at a minus 145 price. The one over that is on my card tonight comes to us in Houston for the Pittsburgh Pirates. That is O'Neill Cruz, who has been really good this year against right-handed pitching and goes up against Jake Blas, who against lefties is allowing a .379 batting average. While it is only 29 at-bats, it is enough of a sample size for me to go against Jake Blas with O'Neill Cruz at minus 110. And again, I just want, you know, people to track this here. We'll get into schemes, big picture stuff, all that. But this is the first time you'll notice me have 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs predominantly from the under. And I think what might jump out to some is the varying in juice. I know it jumped out to me. You know, I've got O'Neill Cruz at a minus 110. And his numbers qualify as good as, right, the Nimmo under, or, you know, potentially that Mark Canha number, right? I mean, it's a little bit of the inverse there. What kind of hit rate are we going to need on these unders to make this be the appropriate play? Are we going to have to find our two favorite unders of the night, put them in a parlay, right? Now all of a sudden I can access a minus 165 Gleyber Torres, right? Maybe that becomes something that we try and look at here. But as we get set for the back end of this Major League Baseball season, right, we look to incorporate some of these under 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, and that's what we're doing with that card. So to run through it just once more, Mark Canha under 1.5, Brandon Nimmo under 1.5, Dom Smith under 1.5, and JT Reed.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
DeMuto under 1.5. It's O'Neal Cruz over the 1.5 and the Braves team total over 3.5. We're back with more Game Time Decisions now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Game Time Decisions is back with you on a Monday night here. And the one item we didn't cover just yet, from a baseball perspective, is we've got Paul Skenes Day, which is important. I mean, again, I know a lot of you out there have some Paul Skenes NL Cy Young tickets, right? Like, if you have the Rookie of the Year tickets, you're obviously in a brilliant position. If you are worried about anything, you can certainly touch the Merrill or Imanaga or even Mason Wynn numbers if you'd like. But there are people right now who have Paul Skenes numbers at huge prices, which makes every single start really, really important. Well, you have, again, still in front of him, just two guys. And from a tier perspective, only two guys. Hunter Green and Dylan Cease at 30-1 have essentially zeros to the back end of their prices compared to Paul Skenes. Chris Sale, who's not on today's slate, there, to me, is a world that we see him start to drop back. Well, I think if you ended the season today, I think Chris Sale would win the vote. I think Chris Sale would win the vote if you ended the season today. I think it is on the board that we see Chris Sale used maybe a little bit more cautiously by Atlanta. Maybe I'm projecting a desire for this to happen for a number of reasons, but this team lost Spencer Strider out of the gate, and now just sent Ronaldo Lopez home with the forearm strain. We don't know what the word is yet. I bet the Atlanta Braves at the All-Star break to win the National League at plus 475, ultimately feeling like that was a really strong number, and I was plenty happy with that price. Well, this team has nearly won as many games as they have created new injury concerns since that's happened. They've won three baseball games out of the nine that they've played since the break, and we now have a major Ozzie Albies injury added that was not, again, the case at the break, and potentially a Ronaldo Lopez injury added. For the Atlanta Braves, while also, you know, playing the Mets and seeing them jump, it's not been smooth sailing, and it's why Atlanta numbers have come back, you know, to plus 550 in some spots. We'll see what Atlanta does at the deadline. We've seen them make magic before. That's how they won a World Series, deadline acquisitions. We'll see if they're able to do it again. And again, they might need to. At the moment, the MRI was clean for Ronaldo Lopez, but they may be a little more cautious with him. And therefore, I wonder if they're a little more cautious with Chris Sale. Zach Wheeler goes today as well as Paul Skenes, which I always think is super relevant. And man, both guys are in spots to make huge moves with great performances, but could also be blown up. Yanks bats found some juice at the back end of the Fenway series. And the wind's blowing out tonight. If Judgy gets a hold of one, uh-oh. If Jazz Chisholm starts flying around the base paths. But hey, similar worries for Paul Skeens. The Astros are hot. They are. And if Yordan Alvarez or Alex Bregman or Altuve get a hold of one, time will tell. But it's a big slate when it comes to that award. Look, we're going to be covering your trade deadline on this show. You know that for sure. Now, I do believe Wednesday we'll see things really, really pop off, which I will not be for. And in fact, a little programming note, but after tomorrow's game time decisions, I will then see you a week from today. A little vacation. I like to think I've earned such a thing. Doing some celebrating, some good times. I'm excited for it. I hope you've had a nice vacation at some point this summer as well. But again, with that said, okay, the trade deadline's coming up. We're going to start to see some shifts. We had some big trades that even did pop through today for Major League Baseball. We saw Fetty on the move from the Chicago White Sox, who are going to be looking to sell off, basically, it seems like, everything other than Louis Robert, which is interesting. We've got Tommy Edman making his way to the Dodgers. And does Michael Kopech going to the Dodgers not feel like just one of those things that's going to work out? And that's not to me as much as a Dodger thing. I think I would have said that no matter where Michael Kopech went. Like, in fact, as the Tampa Bay Rays are currently torturing me by, I have the under for Tampa Bay, and they are selling and winning at the same time. They're like, see, great breakdown, Kev. You knew we'd sell. Watch us win every game we play. Classic Rays. Imagine Michael Kopech landed in Tampa. Like, I might take him to win a Cy Young if that happened. Instead, he landed for the Dodgers. Time will tell. We'll talk golf with you on a Monday as well. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Sports Grid. Great to have you with us on this Monday night. As we got a lot of baseball action here, certainly, but I know people are loving the Olympics right now, a lot of watching, and certainly from a betting perspective, we know that the basketball's dominating, aided certainly by their start times, which has helped up until this point. I know the tennis, we have some big names out there. I believe we had 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Nadal Novak. Again, awesome. People are definitely going to watch the replay, right? How many were up for it? How many were locking in on it, right? The basketball today, we had a 3 p.m. The one sport that I do think is going to really command some attention from people is the golf. Because people are used to kind of, people get their golf bets in before things get underway, right? If it happens, we're used to golf happening overnight now, right? Due to the fact we were just over there playing the Open Championship, the Scottish Open. And also, man, This field here for the golf is brilliant. I mean, it is star-studded, man. And speaking of stars, let's get Keith Stewart in here, who has just been ripping it and roaring it on the PGA Tour. Keith, always good to talk to you here. And I want to just start by saying congrats on a heck of a weekend for you and the crew over at Read the Line.
Kevin, it was classic Sunday. I mean, this is why we cover the men and the women, is to come up with a double win. And we sweated through both Johnny Vegas there in Minnesota, brought home 80-1. And then later on that night in Calgary, the Women's Canadian Open, Lauren Coughlin got it done with a birdie on the 71st hole. Just awesome, awesome stuff. Her first win and a 40-1 ticket as well. So 120-1 on one Sunday. It took some patience and some sweat, but we got it done, and nothing better than that.
Yeah, fantastic again. And the thing with the golf, though, the work never stops, right? And No. Now you get into the Olympics here, Keith. Can you just, because I think you're one of the perfect people to ask about this before we get into the bets, right? Can you set the stage for me? What this means to these guys? We know what a Masters at Augusta means, right? We understand what even winning a Travelers means, or you know, the FedEx Cup, which is around the corner. Winning Olympic gold, is this something that's starting to resonate even more with the best golfers in the world?
You know what? That is a tremendous question. And I've thought a lot about that. Because if you go back to 2016 in Rio, think about the four Americans we sent over there. Ricky, Bubba, Patrick Reed, and Matt Kuchar. I mean, that was the four guys we could get to go to Rio to compete for a men's Olympic gold. And Justin Rose ultimately won that gold medal, and Matt Kuchar got the bronze. But think about those guys, and then think about who we're sending this year. We're sending number one in the world, Scotty, number two, Xander. We're sending Wyndham Clark and Colin Morikawa, all the top six in the world. And what, we have eight of the top 10 ranked golfers in the world competing in this 60-man field. I think in 8 years, this thing has done a complete facelift. And as far as, you know, from the outside looking in and from the fans' perspective, on the men's and the women's side, this thing has done a total transition that has benefited us tremendously.
And then when you dive into the setup here in Paris, Keith, what are you looking for, right? I mean, is it, again, just kind of the horses for courses? Is there stuff that's really jumping out to you as key indicators heading into the Olympics?
This seems like a new golf course to a lot of people. But as soon as you start to see the television on Thursday, you're going to say, wow, a lot of these holes look familiar. Well, it was the host site for the 2018 Ryder Cup. But I'm going to preach this to everyone. A Ryder Cup and the way it was set up will not be the same way that it's set up now. Match play is a much different animal than individual stroke play for 72 holes. So even if somebody like a Tommy Fleetwood played great in the Ryder Cup or John Rahm, I would just say pump the brakes. That doesn't mean they won't play great this week, but don't make that the deciding factor for picking your edges on the card. The second thing is that every year they have the Open Day France there. So it's owned by the French Golf Association. So they host their national championship every year, and it's a DP World Tour event. And we've had guys like Alex Noren in 2018, Tommy Fleetwood won there in 2017, Graham McDowell's won there a couple times. So this is the type of golf course we're dealing with. Now, the setup this week already we're hearing from the players is much more subdued, certainly than the Ryder Cup, but even more so than the Open Day France, which happens every fall in September or October. It has been very warm over there in France. Good growing conditions, but it seems like what they're trying to do is create a little bit of scoring for the fans. The average winning score over there over the last 5 years has only been 12 under par in the Open de France. So that's a little more bogey avoidance than it is birdie or better percentage. But I think that this week you're going to need to go low, a la Johnny Vegas out there at the 3M, maybe 17 or 18 under. I think these guys are going to be able to get after this place. And plus, the French Open there on the DP World Tour doesn't have a field like this.
Right. That's a really, really good point, because this field starts with Scotty, and then it's Xander, Rory, Rahm, Colin. I mean, it's everybody, again, that you could possibly want, at least at that top of the board outside of Bryson. I mean, really, right, from just the guys that have kind of all command that attention. So you have this incredible field. Keith, who is jumping out to you right now in this outright market?
On the DP World Tour, it always seems like experience is a feather in your cap. It's a separating factor. Of those top six that are under 20 to 1, only Rahm and Rory have ever played here before. And both of them have multiple top 10s. In fact, Rory has multiple top fives. They haven't been there a ton, but they've had success there. We have 30 rookies coming there. That includes all four of our guys. It's one of those things where I really worry about course knowledge here. And again, we're not going to go back to the Ryder Cup, because there aren't very many guys other than Fleetwood and Rahm and a couple others that even played in that Ryder Cup. So let's just throw that out the window. We can go with that DP World Tour experience, but I worry about the top. Is this a season where Xander's going to win two majors and the Olympics and defend his gold medal? Man, that seems like a lot. Scottie Scheffler, I guess, Kevin, I would ask you this. Those guys have been there almost a month. What are they doing, right? Because there's no way they're in their normal workout routine with all that's going on with the Olympics and everything else. So my biggest question coming into this week is, what is your motivation? Is your motivation to go check out, the Louvre and see the Mona Lisa and then maybe try to compete for gold? Or is your motivation like Shane Lowry, a guy that wants to hold the flag, be a flag bearer, be at the front of the boat, be an ambassador for his home country of Ireland, a guy that handled the pressure over in Royal Portrush the first time in 50 plus years that they had a British Open there, and he won it. Is it Tom Kim who's trying, or Ben Ahn that's trying to avoid mandatory military service? Like, what is your motivation this week? It goes back to your original question. I think we've elevated the status of this event, but I still wonder what everyone's motivation is playing this week and how deep they're willing to go to work in order to grab one of those three medals.
You know, it's a really interesting way to put it, Keith. And again, we have a little bit of time before we have to kind of click to make any decisions. I will tell you, though, because what I'm thinking about speaks to motivation a bit. There's a part of me that is tempted to just bet Scotty and be done with it, because what I've seen from Scotty this year is basically it's rarer that he goes back-to-back tournaments that he plays in without winning them this season. And again, a T7 for him at the Open, for every other golfer, awesome. For him this year, it's one of the lesser performances he's had within this, you know, 3-4 month window. That's why Scotty, to me, again, is plus 360 enough. That's always where golf is so fun to break down. And, man, I think this is going to be a really, really awesome event. And, Keith, I appreciate the insight as always.
All right. Kevin, it's a pleasure to be with you. And I would watch out for Jon Rahm. If there's anybody that's really motivated over there, to go back to my point, just won Live London, and there's a guy that has been comparing himself all season and has not getting the job done when he's gone head-to-head with Scotty and Xander and Rory, he would love to walk away with gold in France, to his neighbor country of Spain.
Yeah, it's an incredible point there. Keith Stewart helping us out here. Sports Grid will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're live to right here. It's Game Time Decisions in the mix on a Monday. We have some games getting underway, Philadelphia and New York, Detroit and Cleveland. Let's talk some baseball. Let's talk with Joe Maddon. And Joe, can we just start with the two games that are underway? Are you betting either of these games here, specifically an awesome one with the Phillies and the Yanks?
Yeah, it's the Phillies and the Yankees that I really did isolate in this time slot here, Kevin. And I'm looking at fading Zach Wheeler in a way coming out here for the Phillies. I'm looking to fade him against left-handed bats. And that is Soto for the New York Yankees to come out nice and strong and be able to hit him hard in this one. So I'm taking Soto for the RBI. That's coming in at plus 135. And I'm also looking at him for that home run at plus 290. I've also got to put a little bit of money on Ben Rice as well for that RBI. His RBI value is there, and I do think he'll hit Zach Wheeler with the struggles that Wheeler has had. Versus lefties, he's coming in at plus 220, Kevin. I think the Yankees have every opportunity of pulling off the win in this one as well, with Luis Gil getting the start.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really fun game here between these two. Interested to see how Wheeler works through this Yankees lineup that certainly found a little bit of a rhythm in that series, at the back end at least, against the Boston Red Sox. And we've also got Giancarlo Stanton returning to the lineup tonight, so we'll see what Big G has in store. As far as the action that has not started yet, Joe, let's go to the Red Sox. They're at home against the Seattle Mariners, and Seattle struggling a little bit. They got the perfect relief. That was a series against the Chicago White Sox. What do you think about the Seattle Mariners heading into Fenway Park?
Yeah, we have seen those struggles for Seattle out here, but Logan Gilbert getting the start, and I love when he has the start, Kevin. I've always got to find a way to back him. Now, I do think Seattle can get the win, even though they're on the road here. So looking at them straight up on that money line with a little bit of plus money, I think is a really solid way to go, especially against the Boston Red Sox. We know the Boston Red Sox have been able to put some runs on the board, but this team is struggling to not strike out there. And looking at Logan Gilbert, I've altered up his strikeout prop. His strikeout prop is sitting at 5.5. You're going to have to lay minus 148 to the over. And I don't blame you if you just sit at 5.5, but I'm going to ult him up to 7+ strikeouts. We're getting great plus money at plus 144 in this matchup. And in 6 of his last 8 outings. He has recorded at least 6 strikeouts. I like him here versus Boston. Boston striking out 9.67 times per 9 innings. And I do think in this one, Logan Gilbert's going to go deep enough in this game to record at least 7 strikeouts. So big on Logan Gilbert, not high on Nick Pivetta today coming out for the Boston Red Sox. His numbers at home are not where I want to see him at. He's 1-4 with a 5.50 ERA, Kevin. So it's Seattle for me in this one, even though they've shown those struggles.
Quick update here, and let me just double confirm this. Yep, best hitter in the world did it again. Aaron Judge just went out there and put one 406 into the seats. He is just having, man, you know, Joe, just to ask you about it quickly, because you have actually done an incredible job kind of telling people, don't overthink a lot of the slate. You know, just attack the Judge RBI if it's ever plus money. I know you were on Soto tonight, but, I mean, this guy's going to leave this series against the Phillies probably with 100 RBI on the board. That's his 97th of the season, his 38th home run.
Yeah, and I think with him already hitting nice and strong out there, you look for him to continue to do it today. I'd be jumping on his live props for the 2+ RBIs, for the 2+ home runs. We know when he's hot and he's rolling against a pitcher, he doesn't stop. So Aaron Judge, definitely someone you always have to put on your card. It's rinse and repeat for me, Kevin, with Aaron Judge. Now, I did target Soto because I like the lefty angle there in this one, but you can never leave out Judge out of your card. He's proven it today.
Yeah, it is, again, just awesome to watch him continue to dominate this situation here. Guardians got a run on the board as well. Yerfy season all of a sudden, Joe, which is really interesting. Let's get over here for the St. Louis and Texas matchup. The Cardinals at home, a dog with Nathan Eovaldi going for Texas. What do you like in this one?
This is going to be a great pitching matchup. Nathan Eovaldi coming out here, like you said, for the Texas Rangers. He's got very strong numbers on the season. He's 7-4 with an ERA sitting right around 3.31. We have Plante coming out for the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, his numbers are solid as well, 4-4 with a 3.92. I do think both of these pitchers have the ability, even though we've seen Plante struggle in his last couple out there. Actually, no, his last 7 have been strong. A 2.82 ERA in those last 7. He's just one of those pitchers that I've sometimes looked at and I've gone, is he going to be able to handle this lineup? And I do think he'll be able to handle the Texas Rangers lineup in this matchup tonight. I think this is a pure pitching duel. I'd be looking at the Nerfy in this one, and I'm going to take that first 5 innings under 4.5 runs. That's coming in at -118. I don't expect a lot of runs. Now, the St. Louis Cardinals in some of these games, they're pitching in their bullpen, have been dreadful, and they've allowed so many runs to come in. We look at them last week versus the Washington Nationals and how the Nationals were able to dominate. So that's why I'm targeting the first 5 here. I worry a little bit about the bullpen, even though this bullpen should be stronger than we did see it versus Washington. So give me the first 5 under 4.5 runs at -118, Kevin. The wind is also blowing in this game from right center. It's going to be a beautiful 92 degrees, though, in St. Louis tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one to follow here, certainly. Joe, let's hit this Kansas City game quickly, because they're up against the Chicago White Sox, a team that has lost 14 games in a row. What do you think about this one tonight?
Let's go for 15. They'll probably go for 16 as well. I'm laying the run line with the Kansas City Royals here. Chris Flexen getting the start for the Chicago White Sox, and I cannot trust him at all. Alec Marsh coming out here for the Kansas City Royals. Now, when the Royals are winning, they're nicely covering that run line. They're 26-22 on the road on that run line, and I do think they cover it today. So laying the 1.5 at -111, they've also dominated the meetings between them and the White Sox, winning 9 of the last 10 straight up and going 8-2 on that run line. So give me the Kansas City Royals. I think this is one you could probably ult as well, Kevin. You know I love betting the dogs, but this is a favorite one. I'd even lay 2.5 with the Kansas City Royals and get that great plus money.
Wow. All right. Listen, considering what we've seen, I saw something today. This is, I believe, their second losing streak of 14-plus games. And if you took out both of those losing streaks, they would still have the worst record in baseball. Tough season. We'll talk more baseball with Joe next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here. It's Game Time Decisions live with you on this Monday night. We mentioned two baseball games that did get underway at 6:40, both cashing your fees for the people due to the Yankees getting a home run out of Aaron Judge. And then the Guardians are still going right now, up 3-0 on the Detroit Tigers. Joe, we do have the Pittsburgh Pirates going later today with Paul Skeens going. I did get a message, though, that it looks like Jake Bloss might be scratched from this game here, which has caused the lines to lock, and I don't know how much, if anything, that will change the breakdown for you. What are you thinking about Pittsburgh and Houston?
Yeah, it does change it a bit here, Kevin, but I still do think, looking at this matchup, you still have to look at the Pittsburgh Pirates. I was looking at them to get the start in this one, and with Jake Bloss, I just don't know who we're going to see out there. So all of my bets really were looking more at the Pirates, except for the Nerfy. I played the Nerfy in this one. It was juicy at minus 146. So I'm a little worried about that with who Houston will take out there. But I do still think the first five. You look at the Pirates on the run line. Paul Skeens getting the start here, laying the half for runs, coming in at minus 113 pre this news. If you're having to lay up to minus 120, minus 125 juice now with those adjustments, I do still think it is a way to go. Now, Paul Skeens, I wanted to find something to back of him here, Kevin. We know how strong he is, but the books really are catching up with Paul Skeens. We look at him in that last start versus the St. Louis Cardinals, and I couldn't believe he just kept coming out inning after inning in that one, recording 25 outs. He was absolutely phenomenal, 8 strikeouts. His strikeout number today is coming in at 7.5. It's coming into the over at plus 116. I feel like the books are really begging us to take the over 7.5 strikeouts in this one. I'm going to stay off of it because I'm worried he hits just right on that 7 and they pull him out of this game. I don't think he's going to last as long as we've seen him in the last couple. Now, while he lasted long versus St. Louis, when we look at him in those other starts versus the Milwaukee Brewers, he did go 7-7 versus New York Mets. But I think we have more of the game where we saw him versus the Atlanta Braves, where we only saw him out for those 6 innings. So staying off the Paul Skeen props, looking at the Pirates, though, for him to be out there for those first 5 innings, laying the half a run at up to minus 120 juice, depending on what your lines are right now, Kevin.
All right. Now, I will let people know we are getting some baseball trades here. We just got another one involving the Washington Nationals. We're going to send Lane Thomas to the Guardians. We're going to be talking to Craig Mish in just a couple of moments here on Game Time Decisions and hear from him what he thinks about the deadline, which is, of course, coming up. But we're with Joe Madden right now, and Joe, the Nationals are playing later tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I've told people today I'm looking for some unders on hitter props, but if there was a game that should see plenty of offense, it would be Arizona and Washington later tonight.
Yeah, I'm exactly with you right there. The over 9 looks too easy, but I do think it's the right way to go in this one. Coming in at minus 110, Parker getting the start here for the Washington Nationals. Now, my only fear would be that the Washington Nationals, with them selling off all these pieces, really come out deflated in this one. But against Jordan Montgomery, they're going to hit him even if this team is feeling deflated out there. His ERA is weak on the season as 6.11 and weak, to say it nicely. And when we look at him at home, it's even worse. His home ERA is a 7.82. So I can't trust Jordan Montgomery out here, even if the Nationals just don't bring everything they have in this game tonight. Parker for the Washington Nationals, he's been lit up in his last 3 outings. That ERA in the last 3 is over 10, Kevin. It's just not pretty out there. I'm just going to roll with the over in this one. I'd look at the Yurphy. You said it was Yurphy City in those first couple of games that kicked off at the bottom of the hour here. I'm looking for the Yurphy in this one as well. It's just juicy. So you got to lay some juice. I'd probably look at the over 1.5 runs in the first inning as well. Expect those runs to come quick. And probably by the Arizona Diamondbacks, we look at this team. They haven't lost a 3-game series since the end of June there. So they've been phenomenally strong.
All right. We'll keep our eyes on all of that. Certainly perhaps some changes for that Nats lineup with that Lane Thomas change. But we will certainly, again, be keeping tabs. Joe, we appreciate it as always. Best of luck with this baseball board.
Best of luck out there, Kevin, and you guys enjoy this trade deadline. It's chaos out there, and I love it.
Yeah, it certainly is, and it's going to be fun to, again, see which teams can get markedly better, I'll say. And look, just because you add offense doesn't mean you don't think that you should try and add a pitcher, right? It's all about what's available at the right price. But if you were to say, hey, do you think the Guardians should be looking for a bat or looking for an arm, my mind would push towards arm. But again, it doesn't mean you don't throw a guy like Lane Thomas into your lineup, and that's exactly what they've gone and done here. We're going to talk to Craig Mish next on a Monday night with you. It's Game Time Decisions.